You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the Real Ass Podcast. I'm your host, Luis J. Gomez, Real Ass Dude, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. There's no music. There's nothing crazy in the background right now. We are in a cold basement in the Midwest. I'm right outside of St. Louis, Missouri, Troy, Missouri, at the family of my baby's mother, Beatrice's house. And no, I'm not doing this alone. I actually have Beatrice here with me. B, say hi to the fans.
Hi, guys.
Beatrice, she came to me, or she posted on my Facebook wall, probably, I don't know, let's say a month ago. We were doing some podcast, probably talking shit on feminists or just, you know, just being real ass dudes overall. And she chimed in. She was like, oh my God, I want to do your real ass podcast because
I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember what it was.
Because you were asking people to come on and be
on the other side.
Yeah.
So you wanted to come on and, I'm all about it. Look, here's the thing. All right. Beatrice is a fucking champion. This chick puts up with a lot of shit. Dating a guy like me, dating Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, it's not an easy task. So we're going to talk about that on today's show. But what I thought was really interesting is we are literally 45 minutes away from Ferguson, Missouri. Did I say Ferguson?
Yeah.
I can't talk. We're about 45 minutes away from Ferguson, Missouri. You grew up out here. This is like your shit.
Well, I was born. I didn't really grow up out here, but I was born. I was actually born probably 10 minutes away from Ferguson.
I don't pay attention when you talk. I'm sorry. I should know that.
You grew up in Michigan.
That's right. Sorry. So you grew up right outside of Ferguson. So it's...
born.
Sorry. You were born right outside of Ferguson. Yeah. So you know this area. So I think it's going to be an interesting show to have you on. And I want to talk to you... We're going to talk about Ferguson on today's show. I want to talk to you about the trials and tribulations of dating a professional comedian on today's show. And overall, I think it's going to be a good show. But it was kind of funny because you said before we started that you didn't want to be on alone. Why?
I just don't like being on the spot for a whole hour and listening to myself talk for a whole hour. It's kind of... When I said I wanted to be on the show, I meant with other girls that were going to come on and talk about feminism.
Don't call Scopo and Zach girls. That's a little bit rude for you to do to these guys. You know them personally on a personal level. They've actually fucking helped with your kid before, so not cool. No, I think it's better to have it me and you one-on-one. And look, we're not in a studio. There's no pressure. By the way, also, let me apologize. Before we even get going, let me apologize for the sound, because it's going to sound a little bit hollow compared to the normal studio setup we have. I'm going to talk to the guys over at Stand Up New York Labs and see if they can kind of fix the audio up a little bit and make it sound really good. But we are recording into an MP3 player in a cold basement right now, so I want to apologize even before we get into the show on that. Beatrice, we're fucking in the middle of it, man. Last night, I don't know if it's a verdict or the technical word for it, but the verdict was announced that the cop, Darren Wilson, who shot, what's his name, Mike Brown, multiple times, is not going to be indicted.
12 times. That's insane. I didn't.
Well, he shot 12 times. I don't know if he hit him 12 times.
No, but shooting at him 12 times.
Shot at him 12 times. And he killed this unarmed guy. Now, here's the thing. A lot of the facts about this case were kind of kept mum. They didn't really, like, I've been paying somewhat attention. I mean...
Well, and there's the liberal media blanket, always.
Yeah, of
which
course.
Which is kind of, it's ridiculous.
And I definitely want to get into that as well, but I didn't realize exactly all of the shit surrounding this, okay? It was my understanding before last night, before they had that one dude... What the fuck is that?
It's the phone. It rings down here, too.
Okay.
Sorry.
Before they had that one dude come out, I guess it was a prosecuting attorney, and list out all of the details, everything that was it a 12-person jury? Everything that the grand jury heard, I didn't realize a lot of that shit. I didn't realize that he shot at him 12 times. I didn't realize that his eye socket wasn't caved in. They made it seem like Darren Wilson's fucking face was smashed to pieces. And, you know, I kind of defend... I'm not going to say I defended Darren Wilson, but I said, even before that broadcast went on last night, I was talking to your aunt about it, I said, well, you know what? Look, I've never been in a situation where there was a giant man on top of me caving my face in. And I don't know that this guy wasn't in fear for his life. I didn't even know... I had no idea that Michael Brown left and then came back because he was shooting at him. I had no idea any of this stuff. I thought this guy got on top of him and then there was nobody really there to see or say anything and, you know, this kid got killed. Kind of similar to the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah.
Because if you follow the Trayvon Martin case, you know, George Zimmerman, he did get the shit beat out of him. He did have his nose broken. He did have major bruising to the back of his head. Trayvon Martin, he was fucking him up. That's what happened. But in this case, I mean, when they showed that picture of Darren Wilson, where his face is barely red. I mean, barely fucking red.
Just a little redness and swelling to his face. It's kind of a
crazy thing. Now, look, I don't know that... Hi, Deb.
Oh, I thought you were talking to
him. No,
we're recording the show.
I was having dinner at 5. You want to have dinner there or here?
We gotta not do this now.
Sorry. Sorry.
We just gotta decide in like a half an hour. I apologize.
Okay, sorry, Jeff.
She'll call you back. They're on the pod, whatever.
Sorry.
It's okay. That's kind of funny. We're on the pod. That was Bees and Tap, guys. Awesome. Very cool. But you start to not realize a lot of these things. And then you hear that and you go, okay, so you're listing out all this shit, okay? And now you're telling me that the guy is not being indicted. I'm not saying that it was murder.
Like I said last night, at least he should have been indicted and charged. And there should have been a trial. There should have been a trial. That's just, you can't not charge a man who shoots at a guy 12 times, actually goes after him. I mean, maybe he was going after him to arrest him, but it's like my aunt said, he could have shot him in the leg to arrest him. He didn't have to shoot him dead.
I just feel like there's like as much... Here's what it seems like what happened, okay? It seems like this guy, Darren Wilson, it's not that he was racist or trying to murder a black kid or that he was trigger happy or anything. It seems like he was fucking afraid. It seems like he was a pussy and he was afraid and he fucking squinted, pointed a gun at this kid and just started pulling the trigger like a madman because he didn't know what to fucking do. And the reason that I don't believe that people should be able to go out and buy guns, just the average layman, is for that exact reason because there's too many people that would react that way given that situation. But when it's a cop who's supposed to be trained and supposed to be put into a situation to handle himself, you go like, well, where's the line where we say that that's irresponsible? Who's irresponsible there? Is it the police department? Is it this guy himself? I think it's just as irresponsible to fucking just throw caution to the wind and start pulling a trigger at somebody and fucking close your eyes because you're afraid as it is to get behind the wheel of a car drunk. So why are we not looking at this as even like an involuntary manslaughter thing or something?
I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's murder. It was not like it wasn't premeditated. I think he's just a rookie cop who, he didn't know. He didn't think before he acted. But I also think because you don't understand the way that it is in this area of the country, too, the racial issue definitely comes into play with this as well, because you don't understand the racism that goes on. St. Louis area is still very segregated. The way the city is here is the way like New York and Chicago were years ago.
I agree with you that there is racial segregation here. It's
way segregated here.
I don't look at racism as being something that let's say Darren Wilson was racist. Okay. I don't think that he killed this kid because he was black. I think he killed him because he was afraid. I genuinely think that if Darren Wilson is racist, it's kind of inconsequential to me. If there's racist people in this town, it's kind of inconsequential to me.
I just don't think if he was white, he would be dead right now.
I don't know. Maybe Darren Wilson wouldn't have been as afraid, but I don't know if it's racism, you know? And I think that here's the problem. And this is what we had mentioned, the liberal media. I think you have the media pushes these agendas and they push these stories. They say things like this kid got killed. I mean, dude, this was a fucking thug. Let's get real. Let's call a spade here. Ha ha. But in reality, this was a fucking Beatrice. Give me a nasty look. She, by the way, if you don't know anything about Beatrice, super liberal. I mean, just just fucking loves blacks.
No, that's not what it is. I'm not super liberal. I know that the media is like, it's liberal media and it's not objective and it's, I don't agree with that either. I don't agree with like the liberal media blanket in this country. I know, that's why we're never going to know what happened, but I just hate it when you try to like downplay the racism that still goes on in this country.
I'm not downplaying the racism.
And it's
I'm
not
saying
direct.
That I don't care what
it's indirect.
I don't care what people's like opinions are. I don't really care that there's racism. I don't care. I know that there's racism on both sides. I know there's plenty of racist white people. I know there's plenty of racist black people. I know there's plenty of racist Indians and Asians and Hispanics. Here's the thing. We are so overly concerned.
Indians.
Look, I'll tell you. You give your uncle shit. Your uncle, the original real ass dude. Your uncle Ed. I might even get
He really is a real ass dude.
I might put a 10-minute segment on with Ed at the end of this episode because he is a fucking real ass dude and I like talking to him. He leans a little bit towards racism. He's a 70-year-old guy who grew up in St. Louis. He's an old school guy. But here's the thing. I care about the meat and potatoes, tangible outcome and results. Ed's not harming black people. I don't care that he thinks black people smell different than white people. I don't care. You get so worked up.
I know. I shouldn't have argued with him last night, but
he's a guy. You know what I care about? I care about the fucking black kid downtown in Ferguson that's throwing a brick through a white person's window right now.
Where did you hear that? They're throwing
going
bricks
on?
through business windows. Like, that's not...
Let me tell you, if you're a white person walking the streets of Ferguson right now, you're not fucking safe. Period.
I don't think that's true. There's white protesters.
Come on, man. Do you think there's white people protesting in the streets with those people right now? Right now?
I saw them last night.
Let me tell you something, dude. I'm going to tell you. If you have some fucking balls. First of all, if you're a white guy out there with them, you just have some balls just in general. I commend you for being a real ass dude and just having the balls to stand there.
If I was a journalist, I would be there right now.
You're a fucking psycho. But the point is, no, I'm looking at, I don't really care if people are racist. I grew up in a household that was like very, very racist. I'll tell you, we're approaching Thanksgiving. I've said this on a few different podcasts before. I remember one of my earliest memories from Thanksgiving was my great-grandmother Rose having a conversation with my mother because there were kids in my neighborhood that were racist and they were throwing rocks at me because I grew up in a white trash neighborhood and they were calling me a nigger. And my grandmother said to my mother, oh, well, it's not his fault that he's a nigger. You know, and that was something that it always kind of like stuck with me, and it wasn't right. But I'm not going, like, at the end of the day, I'm not, that's not the end of the world to me. And I think what happens is people, liberals in particular, young people in particular, college students in particular, they get so stuck on that.
That molded you in a way, though. That's why you're so whitewashed. You've been trying to, like, you used to sit with the white people in school. That's molded you. You're not proud of, like, you don't try to, like, cling to your Puerto Rican side at all.
No, because here's the thing. Maybe it did mold me, but I think for the better in a weird way. I don't think that the color of my skin should matter in anything. You know, I had an argument with Oni on Hammer Fisting recently because he was talking about how in the years of Saturday Night Live, in all the years that it's been around, I think there's only been, like, two or three Hispanic players on the show ever. You know, and then they did this whole big thing about diversity on SNL, and, you know, Michael Che got the job, and they hired a bunch of other black people. So Oni starts tweeting out, oh, SNL is still ignoring Hispanics. And it was so cheesy. And I was like, Oni, what do you want to be that guy? You want to be that guy who's only getting it because you're fucking Hispanic? You want to be the guy who's complaining about what you're not getting because you're brown? Fuck that, dude. Be the funniest guy in the room. Fuck the fact that I'm Hispanic. I know that there are advantages and disadvantages to being a Hispanic male in this society. There's both. And you play your cards. And that's that. And if I focus on my disadvantages, then I'm going to be stuck in a situation where I'm sitting there going like, oh shit, woe is me. And that's my whole problem with feminism. It's my whole problem with, I don't want to say, because it's not the civil rights movement, but the current thing that's going on with minorities in society and just equal rights movements in general. We're not all equal.
I think I'm doing really good not talking over you.
No, yeah, it's fine. You can talk, no, please chime in. I want you to.
Well, it just bothers me when people try to say, oh, well, there's racism on all sides, but it's not the same. We blacks and Hispanics and Native Americans, they've never oppressed white people. Our country is built on white people oppressing other races. So especially blacks, because they got
an extra bone in their foot. They could build faster.
Because it's based on, our country is based on slavery. That's a huge portion of, so you can't, you can't compare the racism on all sides. You just can't. It's not the same.
But I hold.
We've never been oppressed by these people. White people have always had the advantage.
I'm not white. I'm Hispanic. I've been oppressed.
I am white.
So hold on. But why is it that if I hold myself to a certain standard, and I hold my son to a certain standard, and my family and friends to a certain standard, why is it that everybody's not held to that same standard? You know, this is my only problem with bleeding heart liberals like you, is that you immediately.
I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. You look at the facts. That's why the book, The New Jim Crow, is the. Like it explains like the history and how that history is still ingrained in our society, and it brings it to the present day, and it's not about holding yourself to the same standards. It's about, I don't know. You're kind of in the middle of it because you're a whitewashed Puerto Rican, so...
Yeah, but I feel like my perspective on this is pretty valid because of that. I've kind of seen it on both sides. I grew up in an Italian-Irish household that said a lot of racist fucked-up shit, but I'm also a Hispanic kid who has dealt with a lot of that racist fucked-up shit, like, in a very, very real way. I mean, it wasn't like... when I say these kids were calling me a nigger, every day of my life, for a couple of years, they would fucking throw rocks at me. I just wanted to be friends with all these kids, and they would fucking chase me through the woods and fucking, like, not be my friend. And it's like, I don't know. I just think that if I'm not going, like, I felt it. Just because I'm not as dark as some other people. I know plenty of fucking black people who grew up with both of their parents in their household, in a good household, went to school, went to college. They just came from a good household. Why is it that they have a more valid opinion on this because they have a darker skin tone than me? Whereas I actually was oppressed. I actually did feel the wrath of racism. But I can still look at this fairly objectively and say, well, no, you don't get to be a fucking asshole because you dealt with some shit. We've all dealt with some shit.
It's not just about racism, though. It's about, like, their place in our society, too, and how they're still way more impoverished just because of the history of everything. You know what I mean?
Yes, you're right about all this.
It's kind of a modern-day, like...
You can look at a fucking chart, right, and go, all right, yes, black people are not doing as well as white people. But then you can look at individual cases and say there are fucking black people that are billionaires in this world. So be that person. I don't know. Be
not
that person.
Not everyone is as resilient as you, though, Lewis. That's what I'm trying to say. Not everyone is you're a leader, you're resilient, you have a thick skin. Not everyone is like that.
God damn, I really need Dave Smith on the show, but this is the way society should be, though. This is why I think a capitalist society is a good society. This is why I think that, look, if you're good and you're bigger and stronger and faster, you should be able to fucking do more stuff. And that's that. This is life. It shouldn't be like, oh, everyone needs to be on this equal plane. Why should everyone be on an equal plane? Why is it if you're smarter than me, why should I have the same opportunity at that job as you? No, put me in a fucking supermarket and have me bag groceries, because that's where I deserve to be. I'm sorry. It's just kind of a, like, I guess that's people's problem
with
socialism.
Some people enjoy that job.
Okay.
Socialism doesn't necessarily, I don't agree with socialism either. There's plenty of issues with socialism. I would be happy with a happy medium between capitalism and socialism, or capitalism and Europe isn't really socialist. They're kind of like...
I apologize, but my sister just sent me this picture of Michael Brown pointing a gun at a camera, holding money in his mouth. And then she wrote, I bet if he had gotten his hands on that cop's gun, he'd be the cop killing hero Ferguson. Yeah, it's like, look, that's the problem. We're talking about the media before. It's like,
that's Mike Brown.
Yeah, it's Mike Brown. They want to paint a picture of, they call him a kid.
Well,
constantly.
I hate when they call him a kid.
He's a fucking 300-pound man, dude. He's a man.
They called him a child on The View this morning.
If you see that video of him smacking that fucking deli owner and grabbing those cigars, he's a fucking thug, dude.
In reality, let's get real, man, he probably
wouldn't have lived past his 40th birthday anyway, but it would have been a fucking...
Black on black.
Another black kid in the neighborhood putting a bullet in him.
No, because there is a lot of crime in St. Louis. St. Louis is it's between Detroit and St. Louis being the number one murder capital because of the segregation, and I feel like those are two cities that still haven't moved beyond, you know, like New York and Chicago and L.A. They've kind of, like, they're kind of at another level in terms of, like, the racism and the... I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no, look, I believe it. It's definitely a very real thing here. You feel it in the air. You can tell, look, when you go to certain areas, I go on the road a lot, and you go to certain areas of the country, and not even just necessarily in the Midwest or the South, but you go to fucking deep into Jersey or Pennsylvania, you just feel it. You see the fucking the way that people dress. You just get a vibe in the air. You know behind closed doors, they're throwing
at the
N-word.
Well, it's like the sign we saw. That has nothing to do with racial stuff. The sign we saw a couple houses down from...
From right here.
Yeah. Saying, what does it say? If you, trespassers will be shot.
Yeah, trespassers will be shot. Not even joking, dude. It's just a fucking sign on
everyone
a house.
Everyone has shotguns out here, so I swear,
before I fucking leave, I'm going to walk up to that sign, and I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'm going to risk death to
my
get a picture for the Real Ass fans.
My sister's boyfriend just bought a shotgun the other day.
Why? But hold on. Here's what's funny, though. The reason he bought the shotgun, he comes in the house, he's like, oh, I just bought the shotgun. He bought it because of the impending race war in St. Louis right now.
Which he should not own a shotgun. Let's just be...
Well, he's a dummy. He can't even pick out a good pizza.
Don't say that.
He's never going to listen. He's fucking retarded. The guy says, hey, let's... He's like, you'll never taste a better pizza in your life. You're not going to eat pizza again after you eat this pizza. He fucking... the worst pizza I've ever had in my entire life. I would rather an Ilios frozen fucking pizza. That guy is a dullard. I love him. He's a nice guy, but
he
can't...
He's a sweetheart,
his opinions stink. He fucking comes in with a shotgun. Comes in with a shotgun because of what's going on. And here's what's funny. This is how disconnected we are in New York from what's going on here. Because this is 24 hours news over the course of the past 3 weeks. Other shit. Dude, New York's a fast-paced city. We're fucking ADD. So Bill Cosby happened. A fucking catcalling video happened. Some rape culture shit happened. We forgot what was going on in Ferguson. Yeah. We weren't even thinking about it over the past month.
When we flew here, I wasn't even...
No.
And then when my sister called us yesterday to go home... And not go anywhere else because of the...
They're going to make this verdict. Here's the thing, dude. In this area, this is the news. This is the fucking news here. And it's been nonstop protests.
Well, now it's kind of the news everywhere again.
Well, yeah, of course. But it's been nonstop protests since it's happened. And I was disconnected. I didn't realize how bad it was. So when he said, I'm buying a shotgun, I literally laughed like, oh, what are you, an idiot? Like, nothing. I didn't even think there was going to be rioting. I had no idea that there was going to be rioting and craziness. But they kept on pushing back the verdict. They had the verdict on Friday. They finally got it, I guess, last night. They were supposed to release it at 6, and then they said we're pushing it back another couple hours. And as soon as they said that, I was like, okay, they're trying to get shit locked down.
You were right about that, too.
100%. They're trying. They know it's going to be, they're not indicting this guy, and they are trying to make sure that everybody's fucking home, lock your doors, businesses are closed, they had enough police out there. I mean, because as soon as they did it, within minutes, you had police in riot gear, tanks. I mean, they were ready to rock. They knew what the fuck was going to happen here. And the truth is, I'm not even being a dick here, man. If you're mad about this verdict, and I'm a little bit annoyed about it, you know, like, look, I get it, man. I get the outrage. I get especially if you're a black person, I do get it, okay?
No, but I don't agree with the violence.
If you pick up a fucking brick and throw it through a window, you're a fucking animal.
Well, and then you burn these businesses with these people that have nothing. It's like the poor guy that got cigars stolen. His business is burned.
Yeah, the guy that Mike Brown actually robbed to begin with, they burnt his fucking business down.
It's like, it's not his fault.
They're fucking savages. They're savages. Look, black or white, if you fucking pick up a brick and throw it through a window for any fucking reason, unless this guy fucking did something personally to you and you want to fuck up his property and you're willing to take the responsibility for saying, hey, you fucked me, I'm going to fuck you now, you're a fucking animal. And that's that, okay? And the problem is, I get the freedom to say that because I'm Hispanic, man. Because I have a little tint to my skin, I have the freedom to say the word animal. But if Anthony Cumia said that right now, it would be a whole nother outrage right now. And I think that's kind of a fucked up thing too. You know? I don't know. And
well,
like,
that, it's like you just said though, that has nothing to do with skin color. It's like if you're to that level of, that's just ignorance to have violence like that towards businesses and people that just have nothing to do with the issue. That's,
it's funny because we just moved from East Harlem to West Harlem, which, thank you, B. Thank you for giving me another shot. We'll talk about that later on the show. How many times Beatrice breaks up with me and fucking...
It's insanity. Expecting a different outcome.
I mean, it's fucking unreal. Like, here's what happened. I got
Beatrice...
That's
the definition of insanity.
I got the... I got Beatrice to like me for 3 days in a row, and then we got the lease signed in that 3 days, and then it's like, too late now. That's really what happened. Like, I got her to be cool with me for 3 days in a row, and then we got the lease, and now... We'll see what happens. But, fucking, it's kind of, what the fuck was I just gonna say? God damn it. I'm all over the place now. It's okay. I got
distracted. We were talking about,
Ferguson.
Businesses and,
oh yeah, Harlem. Harlem. So we lived in East Harlem, and I don't mean to be, this isn't a racist thing, this is just a genuine observation. in East Harlem, it's mainly Hispanic people. In West Harlem, it's mainly black people. Okay. Now, in East Harlem, the reality of it is they don't shit where they eat. The Hispanic people, they take care of their shit. They take care of their buildings.
Well, there's still dog shit all over the sidewalk, and there's
garbage. It's fertilizer.
All over
they're
the
garden. They're natural gardeners.
Please. There's so still, it's a they're still using dog it as fertilizer. Shit all over the sidewalk. There's still garbage all over the sidewalk.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I think that's an issue that's not always their fault, because I can't ever find garbage cans in Harlem.
Oh, yeah, because they don't give a shit. Because
yeah, the city doesn't give a shit. There's never a garbage can to throw
shit
away.
So we moved from East Harlem, where it's mainly Hispanic people. Now, look, not that there's not crime. There's a lot of drug crime. There is violent crime. There's some gang crime in East Harlem as well. But in general, an overall feeling of safety, I will say.
No, it's true.
Especially because I'm Hispanic.
They look out for their community.
You're walking around this little spick boy. They either think you're his babysitter,
Nanny.
And we're doing some sort of like
Nanny,
reverse.
It's like a reverse.
Yeah, which is great, and they love that. Or they think that
you're with
a Hispanic, or you're Hispanic.
Yeah.
So there's almost a feeling of protection. I think it's going to be kind of interesting going over to West Harlem now, where I kind of feel like an outsider. Black people look at you sideways when
but
you walk through their neighborhood.
They've had a different experience in this country than Hispanics have. Hispanics were never enslaved. It's just a whole different. Like, but I can also say, though, I did, even as a white girl in Washington Heights, I lived in Washington Heights for years when I first came to New York, I never felt unsafe. And then at one point in time, I lived on 129th and Lenox. I mean, that was just like, I was an outsider, and they made me feel like an outsider. Whereas living amongst Dominicans in Washington Heights, I mean, the guys on the corner used to make sure that I got into my apartment.
Well, they were also trying to fuck you.
They were. But at least I felt safe. They weren't gonna, they never made me feel unsafe, ever. And they were drug dealers, you know, on the corner, late at night, me coming home. But I never felt unsafe in that neighborhood. You know, I felt like undressed with their eyes, but, and got pretty
and
bad.
Some of them got you undressed in real life, too. Let's get real, guys. If you are a Hispanic man, yeah, it's not that hard to get Beatrice undressed. All right, let's see now. All right, look, I want to, because we're almost at the halfway point. I want to switch gears here in a minute, because we're talking about Ferguson. But I went to Facebook and I asked the Real Ass fans to chime in on the Ferguson situation, and you know, I will tell you, the Real Ass fans are pretty racist.
Yeah, they're not going to like me very much.
No, they're like you. Look, you're not. Here's the thing, B. You are. Look, you're retarded sometimes when it comes to your liberal leanings.
No, I'm not.
But you're a fairly logical person. Like, you're not. Like, I've had chicks on Legion of Skanks before where you just can't get through to them. It's just like, come on. I think that you come from, and it's kind of funny because I was talking to your Uncle Ed, and you know, it always comes from a fairly logical place, even if you disagree. It reminds me almost of like a Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, even if you disagree with Patrice, you still can understand the logic and you can still find it funny. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think
you're just disagreeing.
Well, no,
Beatrice
I just don't
says
think
good riddance, Patrice.
No, I love Patrice, and I think he's one of the most. He's made me laugh. Like, seeing him do stand up has made me laugh harder than a lot of comedians, than most.
He's the best.
He's literally
the funniest
hilarious
person in the world.
But a lot of that stuff spills over to where he truly believes some of that stuff, and it's just like, it's not logical. Just like my uncle's, the shit he was saying last night, it was just not, and that's what I was trying to tell my aunt. Like, she's like, oh, well, you just can't change, he was just like, he can't change your mind just like you can't change his. And I was like, that's not true. Lewis has changed my mind. You've changed my mind because you always come from an intellectual, logical standpoint. When me and you debate or argue, a lot of times you have made me see different sides of things, different. My uncle, he's just, there's no logic behind it. And my dad is just as
well,
old. My dad's older than
well,
my uncle.
What we're talking about
with
your uncle
logic.
Is your uncle has guns, and he was saying, I guess we were talking about your sister's boyfriend, Mark, who has a gun, or just bought the shotgun. And he was just
logic.
Saying, we were saying we would never bring a gun into our household, and how you would never let a man bring a gun into your household.
Not then, if I had kids.
And
no.
Then Ed basically. He didn't, I'm not because they called you on your shit, but in his mind, he called you on your shit.
I'm not talking about the gun stuff, though.
And was like, he was just like, well, no, you know, there is a reason to have a gun in the household. And the way he broke it down, it was very logical because he was like, look, I have guns. If you come into my house, this is the only chance I got. I'm a 69-year-old man. I can't fight with you. You know what I'm saying? If two kids come into this house with a gun or a knife, this is what I got. And that's that. And that's how I'm going to protect myself.
And that makes sense to me.
But he's also a guy who's very responsible with it. It's a guy who's very level-headed, who's had guns his whole life. That I don't know if that's the
that's
average
like my dad.
Person. Right. It's like
my
your dad.
My dad has guns, too, because he lives by himself. And I get that. I get my dad having a gun. But he's a responsible human being.
Right. But not everybody is a responsible human being. And I look at myself and I say, I think about the stupid situations that I've gotten myself into where I'll get into a fight at a bar and I pick up a ketchup bottle because my instinct goes there. Because you get this weird thing where you feel in danger and you have to protect yourself. If I had a gun at my waist, I don't know that I wouldn't have already pulled out a gun. Or I'm not necessarily saying killed somebody, but it takes a lot less balls to press a button and end somebody's life than it does to fucking get up close and personal and do it with your bare hands or a knife or something else. You know, I think that, you know, if you, it shouldn't be that easy.
That's one area where me and Lewis actually agree.
That's it, though.
That's it.
That's the one
the
thing.
The gun guys. Laws. That's this the only thing.
It's making me horny right now. We should have sex. Yeah. Go. But yeah, it's kind of funny because you mentioned Patrice and how like a lot of his shit you don't agree with. Here's the thing. A lot of the shit that Patrice was saying does work. It does work on these hood rat bitches. It does. And it's kind of funny because we talked about the catcalling video. I didn't talk about it with you as much on the show. But the reason that catcalling video was interesting to me and the point that I had made, I'd said this on Facebook and Twitter. It's like, look, blame the bitches that it works on, okay? Because it does work. If you go into the hood and you just go, yo, what's up, ma? Most of the girls will turn around. I'm going
to
be honest
Bobby,
with you.
Bobby used to say that to me because, like...
Bobby Kelly?
No.
They don't know Bobby. Who Bobby is. When you say Bobby on the show, they're assuming you mean Bobby Kelly.
I'm sorry, my ex-boyfriend. He used to say that to me that, like, the reason why they do that so much is because it does work on, like, a lot of, like, the girls who are in that environment, but that's the way they grow up. But that's still, it's still ignorant of like, it's just stuff like when I hear when you and Dante talk about how it's the man's job to keep things spicy in a relationship. No, it's not. It's both of your, it's the woman's job too. It's both of your jobs. Just because the man is the one who wears the pants and he's supposed to keep things spicy in the relationship in terms of like sex and like, no, it's the woman's job too. We're sexual beings too. It's not like, it's not only your job to keep things spicy and exciting.
I don't necessarily agree with Dante on that. I don't know. Dante says a lot of shit that I just smile and shake my head because he's 300 pounds and kick my head off my shoulders. I fucking, I don't know. Yeah. Make it spicy. I wish you'd make it more spicy. Are you kidding me? This fucking chick never makes it spicy. I always got to spice it up.
That's okay. Well, maybe don't be such a turn off at times and
thanks.
I'll make
I appreciate
it spicy.
It. All right, let me
not
really
looks
quickly.
Wise, you
let
look
me,
hot.
Thanks, babe. Let me get some comments really quickly from the Real S fans. Daniel McRitchie said, "Sad part is they will expect the government to come in and to pay to rebuild when they are done burning it down. Of course they will. They're burning down their own neighborhood.
They're fucking themselves."
That's
they really
it.
Are.
That's
like,
it,
it's,
man.
It's making St. Louis is already, like, such a sad city, like, economy-wise, everything. Like, it needs a Giuliani. So that's what St. Louis needs. It's like, you can't walk in after
I think it needs
dusk,
an Anthony Weiner. It needs a nice sex scandal. Take the heat off the burning buildings right now.
After, I mean, it was bad before. You can't walk downtown St. Louis, near the Arch area. You don't want to walk there after dusk. It's like New York was probably in the 1970s.
I hate
it's
when
not,
people say dusk. It's my least favorite. I'm not a vampire. Who fucking says dusk? Who says that anymore? For real?
It's between daylight and
I know,
night.
I know. All right. Also, Ryan Watcher says, what did you think about the gas station owner? First, he gets robbed by Michael Brown, and then he gets a store looted. What a year for him. We did talk about that already, but that is pretty sad. Josh Potter chimes in. How come no one is protesting on behalf of these poor Middle Eastern fellas whose stores there are now a pile of ashes? You know, that's it, man. It's fucking crazy.
None of this stuff is racist. They're just being logical.
Well,
like,
not even the people that are looting right now, I don't think are pretending they're doing it for any other reason except they're a bunch of fucking thugs. That's that. And by the way, the word thug is not the new N-word. I saw a fucking blog the other day.
There's,
fuck off, dude. There's white thugs, too.
There
fuck
is.
Out of
that,
here, man.
That has nothing to do with race. That's just dumb. That's ignorance.
Fabian Rodriguez chimed in. I wonder how many protesters could pick Michael Brown's mother and father out of a crowd. It's violence and destruction for the sake of violence and destruction. As far as Darren Wilson goes, he would have been better off to be indicted, tried, convicted, and serving his time in protective custody so he could quietly fade from the public view. Him and Casey Anthony should get a place together. Also, I still like jello pudding. Thanks, Fabian. Good comment. Corey Rayburn, the police officer wasn't convicted of any crimes, and he shouldn't be. Look, he wasn't convicted of any crimes. I'm not even saying that he should be convicted of a crime, but to not be indicted after hearing all of that.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm a member of the grand jury, and any one of us could have been, okay, right? Any one of us is a member of this jury. I hear all of this information put out there. I go, no, we need to have this guy put on trial for something. I don't know. I don't think it's murder. I don't think it's murder because it doesn't seem like this was anything out of cold blood. He was trying to kill anybody. It seemed like he was fucking afraid. And in that fear, he did something really fucking stupid, which is press that button 12 times. And that's crazy. You cannot do that.
Especially as a police officer, that's just irresponsible.
Keith Chiaramello, I believe he's the host of the Tattoo Mentor podcast. Hulk Hogan punched a 5-year-old. Man, I have to start watching the news. Wait, what happened with Hulk Hogan? Did he really? I gotta look that up. I don't even know what that is. Anthony Edis, reading quotes on the Real Ass podcast. Awesome. Dave Smith is a smarmy cunt. Go Mites rise up. You know what, Anthony? That just took the place of the best comment. I do appreciate it. And then he also chimed in with, black people haven't been this angry since Rocky beat Apollo. Louis David, that's a comment about a picture that somebody posted. Eddie Fettuccini, great name, Eddie Fettuccini, said, Louis J. Gomez, distract everybody with your hat bit. Go fuck yourself. I literally hope black people tear you out of your home tonight. George Landry, # Pat Dixon is a gentleman. Also, tough break, society. Go Mite for life. If Chris Scopo is there, please let him speak for 5 uninterrupted minutes on said subject. I'm positive it will be podcast gold. Scopo is a dummy, and I will definitely send this comment to him. Also, Anthony Annis again wrote, not even Chris Scopo's delicious ghetto booty could calm the black guys down in Ferguson. That would get him more excited, to be
Scopo
honest.
Scopo does pick up your boyfriend's slack, though, so.
Yeah, it's very true. Scopo, after me and B break up officially, I think Scopo and B will probably end up together. Because he does love James, and me and him aren't close enough that it, like, if you sort of got with Dave, it would be, like, a big deal. Scopo, I could probably get over it after a few years. He's got a good family. And then Patrizia Pelgrift wrote, this is not about color, and she wrote it C-O-L-O-U-R, which means she's a dirty European. I don't even want to hear your fucking European comments on this, Patrizia. It is about an officer who got overexcited about 2 kids walking off a sidewalk. Gives curb crawling a totally different meaning. So that is all the real-ass comments from the fans. Look, dude, unfortunate on every level. I really do believe that, man. This is what happened here, okay? It is a fucking... an officer shot an unarmed man multiple times. It's fucking wrong. A grand jury... Good.
No, and I'm actually happy that people are out there protesting. I just don't think it should be violence for violence sake. Like them blocking off the whole freeway last night, I thought was a great, that gets people's attention without violence. You know what I mean? They're standing in the middle of the freeway. It's shut down. That gets attention without doing violence. That's the type of stuff.
I would have been on that freeway.
You would have ran
traffic,
people over because you're a lunatic.
Ran them
That's
fucking
why
over.
You shouldn't own
Get
a gun.
Get the fuck out of my way. Are you out of your mind? It's a great Bill Burr joke. Just like the decision to just turn the wheel 3 inches left and just become a fucking, become like a living legend for your murderous rampage. Great bit on Bill
Burr.
But it's
the people that are doing all the violence are just making the whole movement look bad. It's like the dumb fucking feminists that I don't even want to call them feminists because they're not true feminists. The women that write these stupid blogs and like it's because I'm a feminist and it just makes me look bad as a feminist. I just can't stand that.
It's just not using logic. It's about standing behind an agenda.
It's the illogical
without
feminist.
Examining both sides of the issue, and that's kind of what's happening on every issue. I watch people, anybody who's sitting there, and I have people on both sides on Facebook going like, oh, you're fucking crazy if you think this guy should have been indicted, and I have other people going like, you're a fucking racist scumbag. You know, dude, look at both sides of this, okay? In reality, no, this should have been much closer examined. It's pretty fucking crazy. But on every side of this, it's just kind of shitty. The people that are looting right now and taking advantage of the situation to go get a new pair of kicks, go fuck yourselves. The people that are fucking, that think this cop should be able to just shoot people, you know, 10 times without anybody questioning it any more than that, an unarmed citizen, that's pretty fucking crazy. Put yourself in that situation. Yeah. We've all committed crimes. There's a study done. I don't know the number, but it's something like you commit a dozen felonies a day without even realizing it, Americans. Okay, so this is the society we live in. We all fucking commit crimes. We all break the law. And let me tell you something. You might be at the other end of somebody's pistol sometime, and you want to make sure that whoever has that pistol pointed at you is going to make the right, proper decision to protect your life and the other people's lives around you.
Hey, hold on one second. My aunt said he's awake. Should we just let her get him?
Let her get him.
Okay.
Yeah, Deb, go get him. If he starts freaking out, come and grab us.
Sorry.
It's okay. No problem. Look, it's a real-ass podcast. We're not doing any fucking edits, okay? Aunt Deb comes down and says hi. She can come down and says hi. Doing a pod, bod, bod. Okay. All right. Look, that's all I want to say about Ferguson. Let's chat a little bit. Do you want to take a break and go see how he's doing?
It doesn't matter. Do you think he slept long enough? That's what I'm asking, because he's not going to go back to sleep for her. What time did he go down?
It's 12:45 now, so he's been down about an hour.
Oh, yeah.
No, this is 11:45 or 12:45. What is this? I don't know. It's fine.
That has to be 12:45.
We've been podcasting for 40 minutes. He was down for about 20 before we started. He's been down for about an hour.
Okay. So that's a good nap.
We're okay.
Unless he freaks out, yeah.
Let's keep on going. All right, look, real last podcast. Beatrice, can I give your last name or no? Do you care? Let's call you B.
They know my last name.
Beatrice LaBarge. Not Gomez.
Really? They don't see on Facebook my last name? I mean...
The guest on today's show. Been with Beatrice in a tumultuous relationship for over 5 years now. We've had our ups and downs. We have a child. It's the glue that holds us together. We should have named him Elmer, honestly, because without him, we wouldn't be together. That's a good joke. All right. So look, Bing, I want to talk to you about this because we've had a lot of the issues that we've had in our relationship, I think, have really come from a natural divide. When you're with somebody who's in the entertainment industry like this, it's a really, really hard thing. And I think a lot of it comes from, I don't want to use the wrong words because I don't want to fucking have to edit anything and you get mad at me.
No, it's fine. Don't censor yourself.
But I think you resent me because what I've chosen to do with my career is kind of a really fun, awesome thing.
I don't resent you for that at all. Actually, I'm thankful. I go through this in my head all the time. Like, I couldn't date a banker. I'd be bored out of my mind. I wish I wouldn't be, because I'd be richer and probably happier, but...
Thanks.
No.
Well, you couldn't date a banker because you used the word richer, you ignorant piece of shit. It's more rich.
More rich. Is that true?
Yeah. Wait, maybe it's not.
I think richer is a
maybe
word.
Maybe
you're dumb. Look that up.
I don't think it is, actually. I think it's more rich. Is richer a word? Definitely not. You're bugging. Nope.
More rich. Okay, maybe. I guess I'm dumb.
Let me see.
More rich does not sound right to me. You can say richer. I'm richer than you.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. We didn't waste time on this shit.
Yeah, you can. It doesn't matter. Anyway, good.
Yeah, you can. Thank you.
So, no, here's the thing. Like, all right, you resent me for that. I think
our biggest issue, I've been thinking about this a lot, is lack of communication. And you don't communicate with me
our biggest issue, and I don't mean to say this on the podcast, I've been fucking Dave Smith for 1 year. Oh, my God. What? All right, what?
Dave is like a brother. Yeah. That's, yeah.
So, anyway, continue.
Don't say that. No, I think our biggest issue is communication, because a lot of times, like, I'm thinking that I just don't really know what's going on. I don't really know what's, like the week that it was the New York Comedy Festival and you were out till, like, 4 a.m. every morning. I'm fine with that. If you're networking and you're with your manager, and I'm totally fine with that. But it's me not knowing what's going on. I want to know what's going on. You're the father of my son. And I'm sorry, that's just... And it's also about fairness,
too.
You
get upset. That's not always true that you don't always know what's going on. You get annoyed. I would say you get annoyed with me almost every time I hang out after a show. Almost every, whether I tell you or not. You get annoyed.
That's not true at all.
I'm telling you, I feel like it is.
You feel like it is because it's been this long...
Here's the thing. As a comic, those of you guys who aren't comics, I know a lot of comics listen to the show too, but if you're not a comic, you gotta understand that a lot of people look at it as you write your jokes, you go up, you tell your jokes, and that's your job. There's a whole other social aspect to this job that is possibly, debatably, even more important. More important is the wrong word, almost, because as a comic, you have to be funny. We have to assume that you're fucking hilarious. If you say I'm a professional comedian, we have to assume that you can fucking slay a room, you can write jokes, and you can perform those jokes. If you're calling yourself a comic and you can't do that, you're not actually a comic. You're somebody who's trying to be a comic, okay? So there's this whole other side of it where every night you're out at a comedy club and you're... It's not networking. Networking is the wrong word because you're just there and you are drinking and you are smoking pot and you're eating and you're having fun.
But there's a lot of comics that don't drink.
But if you're not there, if you're not there, it's a problem. If you're not a guy...
No, I get it. I get it, especially with like the bigger comedy clubs that you work. I get it. If you're not there and someone misses their spot and they call you to go up, that's an opportunity for you. I get that.
But it's not even just that. See, once again, you go to a tangible place. This is where you need to know, like, oh, it's because
of that.
But
you hanging out with like your buddies and Dave and like Jay, that's not furthering your career. How is that furthering your career?
Because every time I'm at the Creek, the position that I'm in now, as opposed to the position that I was in 2 years ago, a very big part of it is because of how visible I am. Okay, I'm a guy who's at most of the clubs. I'm not only at the clubs, but at these bar shows. I'm kind of intermingling within the bar comedy scene
and
the club comedy scene.
I wanted you to get in more into the bar comedy scene.
Course,
I'm the one who told you that.
But I think a lot of the time you get mad at me, and this isn't just me. I've heard plenty of other, I know a lot of other comics.
By the way, this has only occurred after we had James. Because I do have this, and I'm going to explain this. I do have a little bit of resentment being a woman, being the one who gives birth and is the caretaker in the beginning, because I'm the one who breastfeeds and I'm the one who's there. I mean, that's how he ate. You know what I mean? So I did, in a sense, get a little bit. I'm not my personality. I'm very social. Like I.
Well, no, because here's the thing. Before you had the baby, you did.
My dream isn't to
life.
Be. Yeah, I know. But my dream has never been to be a stay-at-home mom. And I'm not against. That's great. I think that's great. Women who want to do that. But I still want a social life. I still want. And I feel like the fact that Lewis, it's kind of built into his whole career, which is fine. But I also, you sometimes get annoyed with me because I want to go hang out with just my friends.
That's not true.
You make me feel guilty. Yeah, it is. You're like, I can't believe you're just going to, like, on your only day off, you're just going to leave James again.
Hold on. Yes, you do that. Let me speak. That's it. Really be fucking relax. Bring it down a level, okay? I don't get mad at you about that. It will be three Saturdays in a row where it's your only day off. The only day off.
When has it ever been three Saturdays in a row?
Let me fucking finish, please. It's your only day off. It was two Saturdays in a row, okay?
Whoa.
Where was your only day off, the only time we can spend time together as a family, as a unit, me, you, and James, and you opted two weekends in a row to spend time away from us.
I didn't opt.
That's what I got annoyed with. So don't say, oh, you get mad that I want to go spend time with my friends. No, let me fucking speak, because you're talking
over me. You're getting upset now.
Let's just calm it down. No, that's annoying to me, okay?
You said I could talk over you.
I want you to go spend time with your friends. We have this constant argument because I'll say, well, B, if you want to spend time with your friends, go out, have fun. And then you say, oh, well, then we have to spend money on a babysitter. Then I said, well, then that's what we have to do. We have to spend money on a babysitter. Because my social life is completely built into my job. I don't have other friends outside of comedy,
no,
really.
I
got a couple friends up in Rockland still. I have a couple people that I have in my life still. But in general, I just have friends in comedy. So you're right. Every night I'm hanging out with my friends. But it's unfair of you to kind of throw that in my face like I'm doing anything wrong. If you wanted to hang out with your friends, you should have worked in PR or become a comedian or become a tour guide. I don't know what, you know.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Lewis. It's just that we can't afford living right now. We can't afford bills right now, so we're not going to spend more money on a baby.
Keep it sexy to the realized fans. We're doing fine, guys. You know, we're we got yacht payments. We can't really make the yacht payments every month. It's okay, though. We have a yacht.
Okay, Lewis.
But no, you're right. No, we are poor and we are living paycheck to paycheck. And we've had this argument a million times as well. It's money. It really comes down to money. I think that's always, if we were rich, I think we would get along very, very well.
Yeah, the worst saying in the world is that money doesn't buy happiness. I'm sorry. Maybe it doesn't buy inner happiness, but it sure as hell makes life a lot less stressful. And I'm sorry, I'm happier when I'm less stressed.
Yes, definitely.
Especially being with Lewis. He's the worst. I mean, I've never known anybody worse with money ever in my life.
Well, that's why we need to be filthy, fucking sick, and rich.
No, because then you'll spend all... You spend... The more money you have, the more you spend. So.
Well, let me do me a favor. Let me just press pause for a second because I don't want to lose this file, and we're almost done. We only got about 15 minutes left in the show, but I definitely want to save this file because the battery is depleting right now. Hold on, Real Ass Fans. Be right back. Okay. So, yeah, look, we end up having a lot of these problems. And, look, I think a lot of women...
I just have to say one thing. I think that from now on...
You love fucking talking over me. Oh, my God.
No, I just think that from
now
on...
I don't like how comfortable you are on this podcast right now.
I think from now on, this is how we should...
Communicate publicly
because we're so much nicer to each other.
But if there was no fucking recording on right now, we'd be hitting each other. No, but look, I think that that's a very real problem, and I've heard that from a lot of different comedians, and I know Miguel Dalmau, a good friend of mine, he's going through it right now with his chick. They're fucking getting divorced. He's moving out. It's nuts, because it was the same thing. They had a baby, like a week after we had a baby, they had a baby, and she has a really hard time accepting the fact that he is out every night living his dream.
But don't compare me to her, because I love, another thing that really bothers me is that before we had the baby, I was able to meet you out a lot more. Like, and you're the type where you're like really sweet with me. You're always like, for the most part, unless it's something that's like industry or I can't, you're always like, come meet me or come do this. But I can't do that anymore because I have to rush home to the babysitter. Whereas you get to just stay out. And that's why, because I work a night job too, and I could be networking too. But I don't get to do that.
You kind of have to make the decision, though. We go through... Here's the thing.
But our babysitters aren't going to want to stay later than midnight.
So make the... Yeah, they will. If you say, hey, I need you till 2 before we do it, you just got to make a plan. It kind of becomes frustrating to me because we get into these arguments, we get into these fights, and I go like, you know, I'm very go with the flow in that sense. Like, yeah, I'll say, all right, we'll spend an extra $20 on a babysitter for another couple hours. Who cares?
But can I say one thing?
What?
Before, you were taking off one night a week, and that was giving me the freedom to do what I wanted to do with that night. But now you're not doing that anymore. You used to take off Wednesdays.
Look, it's a little... I'm in the cellar now. I kind of just can't take off one particular night.
It doesn't have to be the same night every week, but it would be nice for you to come home early at least, or go out later at least one night, like Tuesday when you do Legion, not go out until 10.
Typically, I don't. Typically, I wait. You've been working.
I know I have been working.
You work so much now.
It's different too because I'm working.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I get it. I sometimes don't have the most practical way of thinking. You're right. We aren't rich. But I say, let's struggle with money now.
I just hate being poor.
Let's struggle with money now. So 5 years from now, okay, we can be in a situation where we're together. We have a full family for James. And we, at that point, we will have money saved and we will have good shit going on. Yeah, it sucks right now. We don't make a ton of money. We're both coming up as photographers and comedians and just trying to get there. But we're both at home with our son every day. We're both raising our kid. We don't have strangers raising our kid in daycare right now. And God knows what the fuck happens and the type of things that are being programmed into our toddler. For me, you have to stop and smell the roses once in a while and look at the glasses being half full. In our life, we are a good-looking young couple with an amazing son who have pretty cool fucking careers. You're a photographer and I'm a comedian. That's pretty cool, man. That's cool. And I get right now we're struggling with money.
I haven't really been being a photographer lately, but that's because I've been, I don't know. Yeah, that's another thing, too. I haven't been doing what I need.
But you need to take the initiative for your career yourself.
But this is the issue, though. I'm not going to be irresponsible and not pay bills because I'm going to pay a babysitter so I can go hang out or go...
We're not going to not pay bills. The difference is we don't do brunch maybe one Saturday because you're going to go... Because you want to go out and have... Or we do a cheap brunch. We make brunch in. You make the concessions where they're necessary. When I used to sell gym memberships at Equinox, people would always go, I'm not going to spend $185 on a gym membership. Be like, okay, well, look, what's important to you? You know, if cable is more important to you than extending your life, than being in the best shape of your life, than feeling good, looking good, seeing your grandkids graduate college, if having fucking cable is more important to you and you don't want to spend that much money on gym membership, then that's what's important to you. But you allocate your time and your funds and your resources into the things that are most important
to you. No, I know. And that's another thing that you mentioning, like... allocating your time and stuff like that, that's another thing that bothers me. Like, you don't manage your time. It's hard to, like, get a schedule going with you because your schedule's all over the place. So that's another frustrating part about being with a comedian. Like, your schedule's all over the place. You can have a set schedule at the beginning of the week, and we plan out babysitters, and then it changes. And that's the thing that frustrates me, too, because I'll have plans to do something, and then you, all of a sudden, something comes up for you, and you have to do it, but then it leaves me. Where does that leave
me? It is very rare that I ever tell you you have to cancel your plans so I can go do something. It is, you can maybe count on one hand.
No, but then I just have to deal with you huffing and puffing around the house all day, because you're like, hey, I can't find a babysitter.
Can you do the Lewis voice, like Jay, instead of, I can't find a babysitter, God, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Sorry, go. Anyway, continue.
No one understands what it's like to live with Luis J. Gomez.
Thank you for using the J. That was very respectful, B. I will tell you, this is why I still love you, because you will still use the J, and you will still call me the Puerto Rican rattlesnake in bed.
No, I would never call you the Puerto Rican rattlesnake. I mean, that's the most ridiculous nickname I've ever heard for you, because you're barely Puerto Rican. I mean, you're not even Puerto Rican. You look Puerto Rican. That's about it.
Yeah, well, you
know
what?
That is about it.
I'll tell you, man. For as little as a Puerto Rican personality as I have dealt with the brunt of being a minority my entire fucking life. I really have. It's so funny.
No, not anymore. You don't deal with that anymore.
I wish the fucking industry would catch on board with me being a minority. They don't give a shit. They don't care.
You got a white girl in your life, so.
It's true. Very true. All right, look, we're going to wrap up here in just a few minutes. Real S Podcasts. I don't even know what I think we're on episode 19 now at this point. Good job so far, Bae. This was a good episode. I thought it was great. Just keeping it real.
I don't know if your fans are going to agree, but
we'll I think see. They're going to love this episode. Okay. I really do. And I think they're going to think your voice is sexy.
I don't know. My voice, I kind of hate my voice. That's why part of the reason why I didn't want to be the whole hour.
Yeah, you know, I kind of hate my voice, too. I've always hated my voice recorded. But for some reason, people keep on giving me, like, radio shit.
I feel like I sound like a little kid, nasally. I hate my voice, but...
Okay. All right. It's Thanksgiving. This will be coming out technically Wednesday, so tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Before we get out of here, what are you most thankful for, B?
James.
It has to be, right?
Yeah. He's just the best, even though he's been a little brat in the last couple days.
I'm going to say Anthony Rumble Johnson getting his number one contender shot against Alexander Gustafsson. I mean, what a fucking fight that's going to be. And then a close second is our little Bubs, James.
A close second. Okay.
All right, guys. Look, check me out on the road. I got some dates coming up. Me and Dave Smith are going to be co-headlining in Toronto. It's going to be January 26th and 27th. It's going to be the Comedy Bar and the Underground, the Weed Bar up in Toronto. Also, that Sunday on the 29th.
Oh, it's an actual weed bar?
It's an actual weed bar.
Oh, that's
cool.
Really
cool. You can smoke weed there. It's pretty great. Then on Sunday, we got the show in Buffalo, I believe. I'm not sure that's confirmed yet, but look for us in Buffalo at whatever that fucking comedy club is called. Also, March 27th and 28th, I'm going to be at the Laugh Lounge in Yakima, Washington. I'll be headlining there. And then on Sunday, the 29th of March, I'm going to be headlining The Parlor Live in Seattle, Washington. Also, there's another show that following Tuesday in Seattle, Washington. So look out for that one as well. Also, got some dates coming up with Big J. December 6th, just next week, Saturday night, it's going to be the poker tournament for Anthony Cumia at Mohegan Sun. Me and Big J both performing for a bunch of fucking racist poker players. So come and check that out. I think if you go to MohegansUn.com or if you go to Anthony Cumia, AnthonyCumiaShow.com, they have more information. And yes, you can just see the show. You don't have to enter the poker tournament in order to see the show. Also, New Year's Eve, I will be back in Connecticut with Big J. New Year's Eve show at Comics at Foxwoods Casino. So make sure you guys get your tickets super
really,
early for that.
Really, you're out of town for New Year's Eve?
Yeah, man. See, I'm going to get shit for that as well. Out of town for New Year's Eve.
I can't come with you.
Can we talk about this Seriously? When the show's over? Can you stop running
my
fucking
plugs? Can I say one more thing that I'm thankful for, though?
Yes, what?
Our new place.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if anybody lives in the New York area, you have to come check out our barbecues.
Yeah, we're going
to
have some dope-ass fucking Real S barbecues.
So I am kind of thankful that we signed another lease because it's a cool place, but...
Yeah, dope place, backyard, and I'm going to make Beatrice buy an inflatable hot tub.
Like white trash.
Like white trash. White trash. $500 at Target. Intex inflatable hot tub. It's a real thing, people. So I might buy that. Also, guys, I think you got one more road thing coming up. Oh, and that's in May. I won't promote that yet. Guys, go to realassdude.com. Follow me on Twitter at Luis J. Gomez. Also, if you need a photographer, Beatrice is a phenomenal photographer, even though she's been ignoring her dream and career for the past few months, waiting tables and bartending. but it's getting to be the spring now. Unbelievable photographer. Go to beatphotos.com and check out all of her work. Headshots, portraits, events. I mean, fucking literally anything. If you have a business and you just open it up and you want her to come take pictures of your restaurant for your website, she'll do that. She'll do weddings, she'll do birthday parties, baby showers, anything you guys need. And if you mention the Real Ass Podcast and Luis J. Gomez, obviously we'll give you the absolute best rate possible. Guys, thank you so much. We will check you next week. Real Ass Podcast. Peace.